my honor and privilege today to introduce our guest minister and our minister of the month, who is the minister of the Concord Church, Concord Unitarian Universalist Church, Marcel Duhamel.
Good morning. My text this morning is the 23rd Psalm. I'm reading from the NRSV translation, so if it sounds a little bit discordant and not familiar from the King James, it is a little bit different. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. My very title this morning includes language that Unitarian Universalists do not always eagerly and readily embrace. But for my part, it is difficult, if not impossible, to speak coherently of religion while eschewing religious language. So not only am I speaking of states of our souls this morning, I will use Hebrew scriptures as my primary resource. The author of Psalm 23, presumably David, sings, "My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Well, sometimes I feel that way too, and I add that it is wonderful. When the state of my soul is in the cup runneth over mode, my head feels anointed, and I know myself, to use the imagery of Augustine and Thomas Aquinas, to be in a state of grace. I awaken on mornings like this, refreshed and immediately aware and conscious that life is beautiful and that I am the recipient, and in those moments, the grateful recipient of life's blessings. On these mornings, I look at the sleeping Ellie and my heart swells with joy. I delight in my morning ritual walk with my garden setter in the nearby woods. Darcy and I revel in the sheer joy of man and the dog playing together. Even a hard driving rain on a cup runneth over day fails to dampen my soul state. Darcy, however, gets a bit cranky if it's raining hard, but I even find that enchanting in an almost perverse sort of way. When my soul is in its cup runneth over mode, when I am in a state of grace, neither rain nor grumpy dog can dampen my spirits. When my soul is in a cup running over mode, I can go to the bank and not be the least bit annoyed at the long line of people ahead of me. I even find the children running under and over the cordons, marking the convoluted path I must follow to the teller's window, charming. Kids will be kids. I am a physically fit adult male, so a child careening into me cannot hurt me. This day, she can't even bother me. Finally and eventually, a cheerful voice and tones. May I help whoever is next in line? And there is great satisfaction in the realization that the next person is moi. She means me. It's my turn. I approach the window and cannot help but notice at the teller that chance, fate, luck, serendipity, grace has assigned to me is an exceptionally attractive young brunette. I hand over my documents, and as she scoops them up, my attention is drawn to her hands. Her fingernails have to be 2.5 inches long. They are turquoise with fantastic strokes and streaks of emerald on them. Remarkable. Stunning. They really are beautiful. And are those tiny rubies embedded on some of the edges? Wow. I suppress any temptation to say anything at all to her. New England decorum and all, you know. Amazingly, she is able to manipulate the keyboard with lovely dexterity. I am duly impressed. But the psalmist David is no Pollyanna, and I hope I'm not either. David is not always in a cup runneth over mode, as he tells us in Psalm 31. I was in reproach among all mine enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and a fear to mine acquaintance. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel. Well, the image and metaphor of a broken vessel is radically different from the image of a cup running over, filled with the grace of divine blessing and sublime bliss. This describes a very different soul state. And yes, I have felt that way too, as I'm sure you have. When my soul is in broken vessel mode, I awaken, tired and resentful, that I have to get up. If I notice my beloved at all, I notice that she is taking significantly more than her rightful half of the bed. And though I would never deliberately, spitefully, meanly awaken her, I do little to be especially quiet. I talk to Darcy in a normal voice, trying not to reveal to the dog that I really resent having to take her outdoors. This is a chore, not an opportunity. It is a duty which must be performed, so I grudgingly perform it, but regardless of the season, in broken vessel mode, I do not appreciate the beauty of sight and sound in the morning woods. And if it's raining, then two grumps go through the necessary motions. And now I must go to the bank. I feel impatience arising in me even before I know if anyone at all is in line in front of me. And the ill-mannered and the unmannered had best keep their progeny away from me when my soul is in broken vessel mode. Finally, after what seems like an interminable wait, my turn at the teller's cage arrives. The girl at the counter, and here I am using girl in its most sexist and pejorative sense, the girl at the counter has these incredibly garish fake nails glued to her fingers. How can she possibly hope to get anything done? She might as well be wearing two catcher's mitts. Why does management allow such nonsense? She should be fired on the spot. You painted Jezebel, I think, but do not say. Have you never heard what Deuteronomy and Leviticus had to say on the subject of feminine adornment? Maybe you should be stoned to death. Now, these two extremes of soul states are really extreme. Life is not always an either-or proposition. We spend a lot of time in between these two extremes, sometimes closer to one, sometimes closer to the other, but seldom really immersed in euphoric bliss or in acute despair. Spiritual practices are designed to help nurture cup runneth over modes as opposed to broken vessel states of the soul. My role as a professional religious leader is to promote the cup runneth over state of the soul and to help my congregants overcome the inevitable broken vessel states of the soul. I need to learn the processes myself before I can hope to be helpful to any of the people I serve in their spiritual practices. The reading of the right literature might be helpful. Various scriptures of a wide array of traditions come to mind. But in my experience, revelation seldom comes through reading. Personal insight does not come, for me at least, from received text. Revelations are not made to or through manuscripts, but revelations are made to Isaiah's and to Jeremiah's. Buddhist texts urge the spiritual aspirant to pay attention and to notice. So I try hard to notice those events, those texts, those experiences, interpersonal contacts, associations, etc., that seem to immediately precede my too rare cup runneth over states, and to revisit them in hopes of evoking them again and again. The converse is obvious. As true and avoid all that which seems to result in broken vessel states. Sounds fairly simple, does it not? Well, it is pretty simple, but it is not easy. It is as simple as the great commandment found in Micah. What doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God? It is that simple. We Unitarian Universalists celebrate our collective institutional skepticism. We are reasonably sure that revelation is too vast a concept to be contained in any single tradition, but we are not, at least in principle, generally close-hearted or close-minded to the concept and the idea of revelation itself. We say, or many of us admit, that we really would like to know the mind and the heart of God. I'm not always sure that this is really true. What if it turned out that God really is a very conservative Republican? Would you really want to know that? Any Dillard's advice can help. Look at everything as if you were seeing it for the first time and simultaneously for the last time. And perhaps you should also recognize the great wisdom in the words of Nietzsche. You must have chaos in the soul to give birth to a dancing star. Can a soul in chaos be in a cup runneth over mode? It seems almost contradictory, doesn't it? But that is one of the many wonders of religion. It is paradoxical, but not necessarily contradictory. Religion is not science, after all, that can be, or should be, scrutinized in the laboratory under the perceiving eye of the atomic microscope. That exercise may well yield much knowledge, but it will not lead to spiritual fulfillment. It will not fill to overflowing the crucible, the chalice, the cup that is your soul. As a discipline, religion is much more closely related to poetry than it is to science. It is not anti-scientific, but all attempts to fully reconcile the discoveries of science and religion are futile and serve no purpose whatsoever. Science requires precision and exactness. A small or seemingly insignificant error leads to disaster in the laboratory. But religion does not work that way. Religion relies on imagery and on metaphor. Religion requires story and simile. It is an affair as much of the heart as of the intellect. If your religious experiments lead to a few broken vessel days, the experiment is not a failure. From the broken vessel experiences, we grow an understanding of what is fundamentally important to us. We move beyond these experiences or periods better informed and better equipped to seek out and even to create those stimuli which will yield more and more cup runneth over days. Now, why might this be so important? Well, as a professional religious leader, I want to do all that I can to lead folks to discover those ways and means to promote cup runneth over states for their souls and to avoid or at least minimize the broken vessel states of the soul. But this is not only important for us individually, it is crucial for us institutionally. Let me offer the analogy of a grove of trees for our churches. When we observe a grove of trees and see it as beautifully healthy, ecologically sound, we are seeing the grove, but it is healthy and sound only insofar as the individual trees that make up the grove are healthy and sound. And so it is with us. When we as individual Unitarian Universalists are spiritually healthy and our souls are sound, our churches glow with that energy, and we are all the more eager to contribute time, talent, and treasure to perpetuate the cup runneth over modes for our churches. Consider, a table is prepared before you. Your heads are anointed with oil. Your cups runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your lives, and you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen, and may it be so. I think now we sing, but I don't have an order of service up here. So, I'd love to tell you what we're going to sing.
Number 346, come sing a song with me.
Thank you.